All right, good morning, everybody. Good Mother's Day to you all, ladies. Good Mother's Day to you. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. While you're turning there, we have just a few interesting statistics about Mother's Day. In the United States, there are about 82.5 million mothers. In the United States, 82.5 million mothers. About 96% of American consumers take part in some way in Mother's Day. 96%. Mother's Day is widely reported as the peak day of the year for long-distance telephone calls. The peak day for long-distance telephone calls. In other words, we can't wait to move far away from our mothers. There are more than 23,000 florists in the United States with a total of more than 125,000 employees. Colombia is the leading foreign supplier of cut flowers and fresh flower buds to the United States. California produces two-thirds of domestic production of cut flowers, and some of you may even get some of those today. Mother's Day is the busiest day of the year for many restaurants. Retailers report that Mother's Day is the second highest gift-giving holiday in the United States, with Christmas being the highest. That's wild. Most popular month for having babies in the United States is August. And the most popular weekday is Tuesday. I don't know how you ladies work that out, but about twice as many young women were child-free in the year 2000 as in the 1950s. Twice as many young women were child-free in the year 2000 as in the 1950s during the baby boom era. In the United States, 82% of women ages 40 to 44 are mothers, 90% in 76. So actually less women are mothers today than were in 1976. In Utah and Alaska, women on the average will have 3 children before the end of their childbearing years. Overall, the average in the United States is 2. I don't know what's going on in Utah, but Alaska, it's cold. In 2002, 55% of... Yeah. Utah's all Mormons. Yeah, that's right. That's going to be a hate crime real soon. In 2002, 55% of American women with infant children were in the workforce. That's sad. 55% of American women with infant children. That's not saying 55% of women. That's 55% of women with infant children are working. That's sad. Compared to 31% in 1976 and down from 59% in 1998. In 2002, there were 5.4 million stay-at-home moms in the United States. There's 82.5 million moms. Only 5.4 were stay-at-home. That's sad. That is sad. But anyways, happy Mother's Day. I hope the day goes well for all you moms. This is the day that you either go out to a restaurant or cook for us anyhow. Hopefully not. Galatians chapter 1, we're gonna learn just a little bit about Paul. And I'd like to start having a study in Sunday school about Paul. He's my favorite person in the Bible, short of Jesus, of course. And I like Paul because Paul is a very, very humble fella. Paul is somebody that doesn't have to be humble. He's somebody that had great achievements in the Scriptures. He had great things that were given to him, accolades that were handed to him. And he doesn't have to be humble. But I think we could take a lesson from Paul in the United States of America today on humility. He's a fellow that really knows who he is and really knows what he is and where he came from. And yet, even though he came from a good rearing and a good background, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was somebody that's well-taught, a very religious man. What was great about him is that he literally knew who he was, and he knew who he was in God's eyes. And that's what's phenomenal about Paul. So if we'll take just a moment, we're going to start studying a little bit about Paul's life in the next few weeks. We're going to study about his missionary journeys and things that he did. Paul was a very, very impressive fella. He really was. He worked hard for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can learn a lot from Paul. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Brother Mark Thompson, could you lead us in prayer, please?
Lord, we love you today. Thank you, Father, for the precious word. Thank you, Father, for Paul as a godly example for us to
please. Amen. Thank you very much. The first five verses of Galatians chapter 1 are the greeting of this letter that has been written to the Galatians. And understand that Paul, writing this letter through the inspiration of Jesus Christ, all of our Bible, and I want you to get a hold of this, I'm a very big stickler on this, all of our Bible was written by God, not of men. And I want you to understand that a lot of people try to put, well, Paul put his flavor into this letter. Paul put what God allowed him to put in this letter. I want you to grab a hold of that. Nothing was written by men in these scriptures, not one thing. If you start giving man credit for what's in this Bible, I promise you this, you're going to have a corrupt Bible before too long. What you've got to understand is God has given us the ability to look into his scriptures that he's given us. Yes, he used Paul. Yes, he used scribes to write down the words that he was given. But understand this, God put his very hands on the hands of Paul. He put his hands on the hands of the scribes that wrote. He had his hands there guiding him and directing them and moving them into what they would write to us. So when you're reading the scriptures, please understand that they are written by God. They're not written by man. They're not of man. Man could not do this. Man doesn't have the ability. Okay? So let's read this first verse. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. In my opinion, that's a very humble beginning. Now, he's telling you, and you might look at that as saying, well, wait a minute, he's saying Paul, an apostle, but not by man, by God. Holding himself up, understand this, he's not holding himself up. He understands that man cannot give him anything. Man can't give you anything. You may have been led to Christ by a man or led to Christ by a lady of God, but I understand fully, God is the one that saved your soul, not man. A lot of people have a look at a man. They look forward to a man and they think, well, this man's got something. This man's got something to offer. The only man that has anything to offer us today is Jesus Christ. We've got to realize that in this day and age, we put our mind and we take our thoughts and we take our focus off of where they ought to be, and we move it so quickly to places where they ought not be. So quickly, when Dr. Gray Sr. comes here, I want you to love him. I want you to care about him. I want you to amen his preaching. But Dr. Gray Sr. is a man just like me and just like preacher. He's just a man. God has used him greatly. He really has. But he's no more of a man than Brother Carl. He's no more of a man than anybody sitting in this auditorium. We've got to realize it. Paul's saying here, I'm an apostle, but man did not make me that way. God did. You're saved today, but man did not make you that way. God did. And what's amazing is we've got to look at that and say, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. I'm not worthy to be saved. I'm not worthy to go to heaven when I die. I'm not worthy of that. But God said, I'm making you worthy. God said, I'm going to send my only begotten Son to die for you. And when he dies for you, that, if you accept that and believe that today, if you believe that, that will take you to heaven. Nothing that you can do. What's amazing is men try to put some type of work on it. They try to put something that stamps them that they've done it or they've made it so. Understand this, you're not good enough. All our righteousness is filthy rags, but thank God. Thank God. We don't need to have that righteousness. We need to have his righteousness. And that righteousness is a gift. The gift of God, not a gift from God. He gave himself. That gift was him. And he said, you know what? I love Brother Bob Clifford. And I'm going to die just for him. He looked around and he said, man, I tell you, this old world's going to pot, and I know they're going to look in a lot of different directions, but man, I tell you, I'm going to die for these people because I love them so. And if they'll just accept me, I'll give to them, I'll impute them my righteousness. And that righteousness will take them to heaven, not theirs, but mine. We deem ourselves as not worthy, and we should. We're not worthy. But God looks down and sees somebody that's worthy. Paul, an apostle, not of men, but of God. Dave Ballard, a saved man, not of men. but by Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for that today. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, all the people that were with Paul writing to Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, God deserves our glory forever and ever. Amen. He deserves our praise forever and ever. Amen. He deserves that. He's worthy of that. Why is he worthy of that? Well, first of all, if we loved him in the beginning, he'd still be worthy. Amen. If we loved Christ first, he would still be worthy. But we didn't love him first, did we? He first loved us. And when he looked down and saw a people that hated him, he still left heaven. When he looked down and knew in foreknowledge where he was going to end up on that cross that day, when he looked down and knew that was his destination, he still left heaven. He looked down and saw people that would spit upon him. He looked down and saw people that would pluck his beard and do all the things that they did to him cruelly and unmercifully. And he said, I'm still going to go. Because I love those people. I love them even though they don't love me, even though they don't care about me. I love them. And I'm going to die for them. Here's a thought for you on Mother's Day. When you are at your worst, your mama still loves you. And let me tell you, I'm at my worst a lot. Okay? When you are at your worst, your mom still cares about you and loves you. When you literally go against everything that she's tried to teach you and tried to raise you and tried to rear you, that's why long-distance phone calls are so big today, because people, hey, this is Mother's Day. I got to call my mama. I got to care about my mama today. We should care about our mamas every day. We should love our moms every day. We never think how much. Poor mom, I guarantee you today she's cooking. She's cooking today. And a day that's Mother's Day, we should probably cook for her, but we know we can't eat what we make. I don't even know the definition of meatloaf. But even when your mom's mad, even when your mom, she still loves you. She still cares about you. She still desires you to be close. She still desires to have that fellowship. She still desires to talk to you. She still desires. It's amazing to me that we save Sunday as the day for Jesus Christ. And would to God we could have it all week long. I wonder if your mother would like to get a phone call from you every day. Think about that with me for a minute. I wonder if mom would like to hear from you every day. And you can liken that to Jesus Christ. I wonder if our Savior would like to hear from us every day. I wonder if he would like to have a prayer offered up saying, man, Lord, I'm so thankful that you saved me. If nothing else, no more than just desires that we have from him. Boy, Lord, I'd like to get something from you today. Just to say thank you just one time. I wonder if mom would like to hear you say, gee, mom, I love you. Thank you for being my mom. More than just on Mother's Day. See what you mess up? If you mess up all year long, you call on Mother's Day, is that making it all right? No. See, to me, we should love our moms every day of the year. Amen. Every day. Some moms are hard to love. They really are. I mean, mom is tough. She loves you. But we should love her. She's not in here right now, I don't think. We should love our moms every day, not just one day a year.
Some kids are hard to love, too. You know?
Amen. Yeah. And if you look at verse 6, the Bible says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, you don't have to get way off course, folks, and you need to hear this. You don't have to get way off course to have another gospel. The gospel is very clear in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. It's very clear. Let's look at it real quickly. Turn over to 1 Corinthians, just a couple books back. Didn't have this plan. We've heard this 100 million times. 1 Corinthians 15. I'll start reading in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. That's what we're wanting to know about. This is the gospel which I have preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. You're saved by this. But what I'm going to tell you is what saves you. You will not find men, you will not find candles, beads, you will not find works, you will not find water, you will not find anything in these next parts except the gospel. And this is what saves you. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. You cannot leave according to the Scriptures out of these verses. Look at the next verse. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now listen to me. That's the gospel. He died, was buried, rose again the third day according to Scriptures. According to Scriptures. You say, why is that so important, Brother Dave? Let me ask you a question. Take the Scriptures out. How do you know of salvation? How do you know of the gospel if you have no Scriptures? The Bible's very clear that you learn of salvation through the Holy Scriptures. There's no doubt about it. It says it in the gospel, and that's what he's trying to tell these people. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto another gospel. It doesn't take long to get yourself out of that gospel. Let me ask you a question. If you're not holding the Word of God in your hand, are you holding Scripture? No. So if you're not holding Scripture in your hand, can you have the gospel? That's good. You're smart. It doesn't take common sense to understand that if you remove yourself from God's holy word, you remove yourself from the gospel. Because the gospel is according to what? Just talking common sense. So if you remove yourself from the word of God, you cannot have the word of God in your hand. Seems easy, but America, all over the place today, many folks are not holding the Scriptures in their hand. Therefore, they cannot have the gospel. And if they cannot have the gospel, it doesn't surprise me when Paul says, I am so surprised and amazed that you are so soon removed from the gospel. You're doing exactly what I told you not to do. Do you think Paul, when he started the church here, do you think he literally decided that I know you're going to be removed, so I'm not going to work real hard to give you the gospel correctly? No, I guarantee you, he told them and warned them, please, Please don't come away. Don't be so soon moved. Don't look at men. Don't look at what else is out there. Please, you read and take what I've given you, but don't come away from that because this is how you're saved. And if you leave that, you're not going to be able to get saved. Hey, people don't like to hear this testimony, but let me explain something to you. If you're not holding the Scriptures in your hands, you cannot be saved. Now let me rephrase that. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to have the Scriptures to get saved. Right. Somewhere along the line, you've got to hear it. Right. You've got to hold it in your hand. Somebody's got to tell it to you. But you've got to have the Scriptures. You've got to look at the King James Bible as a key. And that key unlocks the door that is called Christ. Without it, we don't have the key. Therefore, we can't get in the door. This isn't popular. I understand that. But I'm not here to be popular sometimes, amen? So if you look at this, it says, man, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, because there is no other gospel. It's not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach another gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now this is two times in a row. Don't you think he's taking this pretty seriously? Why? Why would he take that so seriously? Why would they take so seriously another gospel being preached? Hey, listen, in this day and age, churches are bannering about anything that they want to give, any information. Whatever it is, we're all loved. And we are, amen. But God is holy, and he's not going to be mocked. He's given a specific way, a peculiar way, a particular way for us to get saved. And there's only one way. But churches all across the planet, because humankind, we don't really care to have the gospel preached to us. We don't really care, because what happens is this. If the gospel is true, and it is, anybody can be saved. Think about that for a minute. Anybody can be saved. A lot of folks don't like to have bus kids in their church. Why? Because they're lower class. Think about that for a minute. I'm not saying that they're lower class. I'm just saying, I want you to think with me. The reason that people don't want salvation to work like it works in the scriptures, because if it works that way, anybody can be saved. How in the world, Brother Dave, can you say anybody can be saved? What if Charles Manson accepts the Lord as his Savior? Then you're going to see him in heaven. That's the way the gospel is. There's no money to be made if anybody can be saved. Think about that for a minute. There's no money to be made if anybody can be saved. If the richest fellow in the world can be saved, then I'm never going to go to heaven. But you got to understand, when Christ came down here and died for you, he came as a person of no reputation. He came as a person with no home. He came with a person with no goods. He came with a person with nothing except the message of salvation. He was giving to it freely. Yet it's so easy for a human to desire to be more than what he really is. It's so much for a human. I desire to be great in front of your eyes. No, you should desire to be a servant in front of his eyes. He's not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful great person. Well done, thou good and faithful rich guy. Well done, thou good and faithful good dresser. He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And Paul was a wonderful servant. For do I now persuade men or God? This is verse 10. Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, that's hard to chew sometimes, isn't it? If you're making everybody happy, you're probably not serving Christ. If you're making everybody around you, if everybody gives you lip service every day, well, preacher, you're sir preaching great. I'm sure thankful for your great messages. Let me tell you, Brother Kativer sent me an email. I've been mad over it for 4 or 5 days. And I don't know why. I usually don't get mad over this kind of stuff. I see it come. It's no big deal. But he sent me an email that said that they're passing into law that if preachers preach against homosexuality, they're going to jail. Get the cuffs ready, James. I'm going to jail. I'm not going to stop preaching against the homosexual crowd because I can't stand that sin. I hope this recording goes on the internet. I'll be the first one in the prison. God calls it an abomination. I don't serve man. I serve Christ. And by the way, it wouldn't be so bad for some preachers to go to jail over preaching Christ. It's not been done in a long time in America. It'd be great to see a little spiritual revival, Brother Dave. I don't know why you feel such an angst to get the homosexual crowd. If you know anything about my history, let me explain something to you. It's not the people that I'm upset with. It's the sin. What's sad is preachers can't separate the two. That's where hate comes in. I'm not upset with the people. I'm upset with their sin. I am upset with the fact that we cannot wait to hear every word that that sin has to say. They want to deafen the ears for the preacher's crowds. They don't want you to hear what preachers have to say out of the Word of God. But they can't wait to open their ears wide to what the sinners have to say. Now, we're all sinners. Please don't misread me. But that sinful crowd that lives in sin, desires to live in sin, for one minute, can't we just do right? Can't we just do right? Brother Kativer, I feel bad that this country's going that way, but it isn't anything new. We've seen this coming for years. Preachers preached on this for years. But how dare people, now listen to me now, and I don't take this lightly. Preacher always taught me, you've got to be a God-called man. And you better be sure that God's called you. And you better be sure that you're preaching what God has told you to preach. You better be sure. I know with all my heart that God's not happy with the homosexual crowd. I'm a servant of that Christ. He loves them. He died for them. He desperately wants them to go to heaven. Desperately. He gave his life for them. Sure, he wants them to go to heaven. But he can't tolerate the sin. Now we look at that crowd and say, well, bless God, I'm glad I'm not as bad as they are. You better hold yourself. You better hold yourself now. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. We love to put a category on sin. Well, I'm not so bad, but they are. Yeah, you belong. The Scripture's got a place for you. They talk about that. Well, I'm not as the publicans are, thank God. Yeah. I'm so good. No, hold on, hold on. We're all sinners. But I preach against the alcoholics just as much as I preach against the homosexual crowd. I hope they don't make alcohol a hate crime. We've got to realize that Christ died for everybody. There's not one person in the world that ever has been or ever will be that Christ didn't die for. He died for the people in Sodom and Gomorrah the way he died for you and I. Now, he wasn't there yet when that happened. But understand, he gave his life. He gave his life so that we may live. Verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. I'm going to rewind just a little bit. Think about that for a minute. Jesus Christ decided one day, preacher, he was going to go out soul winning. And he met Saul. He met Saul and said, why persecutest thou me? Think about that for a minute. You're Saul, and you've been doing everything that the church has taught you to do. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a well-learned man. He was doing what the church was telling him to do, preacher, but it was wrong. The church was telling him, you've got to go out and persecute these people. You've got to go out and take these people out. You've got to stone Stephen. You've got to kill these people. These people should not live. And yet Paul, when he was confronted by Jesus Christ accepting him as Savior, I want to skip ahead. We got to read through this because that was the first bell, and I don't want to go on. Listen to this now. Just listen. I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He wasted a lot of Christians. And profited in the Jews' religion above many, my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. He went after denying Jesus Christ. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with the flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned unto Damascus. He's just telling you here, I didn't go ask permission by preacher to be saved. I didn't go ask permission by my fellow people that were around me. I didn't ask them permission to be saved. God saved me. That was all that was there. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days, but other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by the face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. Listen to this now. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. Hold on now. Have you ever prayed for somebody? This came over me. It's Mother's Day, and this doesn't sound anything like Mother's Day message. Listen to me. I spent a decade praying for my mama. A decade praying her out of the sin that she was in. A decade praying that God would change her life and change her heart so she could be a part of my family, praying that the Lord would show her the way. And here's what you got to understand. Back in this chapter in Galatians, the people that Paul persecuted, I guarantee you, were praying, oh God, please change his heart. He's such a zealous person for this. Oh man, if we could get him plugged in over here. Have you ever thought of somebody like that? Think with me now. Have you ever thought of somebody, man, they're so good at what they do. Oh, man, if we could just pray them out of this and into the Baptist church, pray them out of that and into getting saved, pray them out of that into this. Oh, man, how great would they be? They heard that Paul got saved. They heard that Paul got saved. And when Paul got saved, he became one of the greatest Christians in all the Scripture. Amen. He got plugged into the right outlet. And yes, he had that past of killing people. Listen to me now. You've got to get a hold of this on Mother's Day. He had the past of tearing people's lives up. He had the past of wasting the church. He had the past of doing all those bad things. Yet God saw something in him that was better than anyone else. God saw something in him that the people had been praying for him. The people had been desiring for him to do something great. And what's wonderful is when he finally did it, the people saw it and acknowledged this had to be God. And they said, glory to God, look at Paul. And I can say to you right now with all my heart, glory to God, look at my mama, who once was this way. Yes, she was. And I know that. But Paul was a murderer. Paul was not a good person. Paul persecuted the church and wasted the church. And over here, Paul's being glorified in God. And he should be. Because he saw the light, which is Jesus Christ, who loves you today and cares about you and desperately desires you to be part. If you're not saved in here today, don't wait another minute. Quit wasting your time. Jesus Christ desires you. Holy, oh man, he gave his whole life. It's what he was. It was the expressed image of his person and the most bright that he could possibly be when he died for you and me. He offered himself by himself, purging my sin, purging your sin, purging my mama's sin, purging her history. Why in the world then, listen to me, please listen to me. Why in the world would we live in the past of that failure when there's a future of such bright success for Jesus Christ? He's telling the church of Galatia, get your heads out of the men that are there. The men aren't going to help you. Jesus Christ is going to help you. Folks, if you can hear me today, there's a lot of forgiving that you have to do to get past your past. But when you do pray for people, when they do change, when they do come around, glorify God. Glorify God in them. I don't thank my mama for changing her life. I don't. I thank God. It was he that did the changing. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be in church on Mother's Day. Lord, there's a lot of folks that aren't in church on Mother's Day or can't see their mamas. A lot of folks here, their mamas are already in heaven. Lord, I pray for them. Mother's Day can never be easy if you can't be with your mom. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you so much that on this Mother's Day, I'm going to call my mom and I'm going to get to tell her that I love her. I'm going to get to tell her that I care about her. Because for 10 years, I realized what it was like to not be able to do that. But Lord, I'm so thankful that you are the great changer of people. You don't change, but you sure do help people to change. And I'm going to glorify you for that. Lord, please get in the hearts of people today. Let them realize that Mother's Day is a great day for caring about the person that brought them into this world and nurtured them and loved them. And I know that a lot of families maybe don't have everything just right. But God, I know you can make it right. Help them to seek you today in a very special way. Help them to love you as they've never loved you before, so we can glorify them in you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.